Well, hi everyone, Pastor David here again, and thank you so much for joining us for Worship Online from Appleton Gospel Church. As we ease out of the quarantine, slowly but surely, it's just so exciting for me to be able to do ministry again with so many of you. I cannot wait for that. Well, to start with this morning, I just have a couple quick things for you. First is just a reminder that we're going to restart in-person worship services on June 21st. We have a transition plan with a number of new safety measures intended to reduce public health risk, which you can check out at appletongospel.com/COVID-19. And as I've said before, we love you and miss you, and we cannot wait to be together again. But we certainly understand that some of you won't be ready or able to come back right away. So we're planning to continue worship online for the foreseeable future as well. Second, related to that, if I had your email address, I sent you an email this week about the volunteer roles that we need to cover in order to be able to restart as a church in person. So whether or not you've served in the past, we don't want to assume that you're comfortable coming back right away. So this is an opt-in type of situation. We need people to clean and disinfect the building, obviously. We need people to welcome people into that clean building. And then we also need people to help lead worship as well once they're in that clean building. So we're asking you to commit to serve through the summer, which will give us some time to see how things are going and to make additional plans and adjustments for ministry come this fall. Now, for most of you, that will mean being on the schedule to serve perhaps three times this summer, which hopefully isn't too bad. And as many people discover, it's actually a really good joy-producing thing to use your time and energy to be able to serve, to minister to other people in Jesus' name. And that's why, one of the reasons why ministry is one of our core values as a church. We serve and love people because Jesus has served and loved us first. So if you go to appletongospel.com/COVID-19, you'll find a link on that page to get to the volunteer sign-up sheet. And thank you to those of you who volunteer to serve this summer. I greatly appreciate that. Okay, well, we've been working through a sermon series called Healing a Troubled Heart in order to deal with some of the common emotional and spiritual struggles that COVID-19 has brought to light over these past few months, and maybe other events in the world have brought to light just in the last week or so. So far in our series, we've addressed the topics of anxiety, loneliness, and guilt. And if you missed any of those topics, you can always go back and watch on YouTube or listen to the audio podcast. But today we're going to focus on the topic of depression and how you can find the light of hope in the darkness. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, please go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. If you're not sure where the book of Psalms is in the Bible, you can look it up in the table of contents. But first we're going to pray, and then we're going to jump into this text and unpack it together. So please pray with me to begin. Our Father in heaven, we come to you today in a difficult and divided time. From the economic struggles and uncertainty caused by COVID-19 to the ongoing racial violence and discrimination that so many Americans experience on a daily basis, to all of the incredible foolishness and fear that I see on social media every day, we are in desperate need of your help. We need you. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance. We need your protection and your power to heal us and to unite us. Forgive us, Father, for the times that we've failed to love other people well, or we've allowed ourselves to be unnecessarily divided by our fears or our politics or even our sin. And help us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to reflect the light of your image and your glory into the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Psalm 42, starting in verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. This is God's word. So for the past few weeks, we've been working in the Psalms because the Psalms in the Bible cover the whole range of human emotion, and they direct us to the one who truly has the power to help heal our troubled hearts. And the first three Psalms that we studied were written by King David about 3,000 years ago. But this Psalm says at the top, it says that it was written by the sons of Korah. Well, this was a family. The sons of Korah was a family of the tribe of Levi, and they served as singers, or probably what we would call worship leaders today, for the ancient people of Israel during a time of exile after the time of King David. And Psalm 42 is one of about a dozen psalms that the sons of Korah wrote in the Bible. So let's start back at the beginning and let's unpack this together. Verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Do you feel the desperation in this verse? The psalmist uses this picture of a deer or of an animal that is in desperate need of water, dying of thirst, to illustrate how they are feeling toward God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with him? Now, this exclamation, this question, points to the fact that this psalm was most likely written during a period of exile, a couple hundred years after the time of King David. And the exile would have been traumatic for anyone living in this nation at the time, but it especially would have been devastating to a Levite like the sons of Korah, because for hundreds of years, the Levites were responsible for organizing and facilitating worship for the people of God. The priests oversaw the offerings and the sacrifices and teaching, and the Levites handled pretty much everything else. The Levites worked in the temple, they wrote worship music for the people to sing, and then they led the people in corporate worship. What we practice in our worship services today of the singing and praying and preaching, these things have been going on for a very long time among the people of God. But there's a problem here. They aren't in Jerusalem. They're in exile. The psalmist can't go to the temple. He can't lead the people in worship. His life and his work, his vocation, have been totally disrupted. And so as a result, he's really struggling. And we see this, we feel this in verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? The psalmist is in a very dark emotional place here. He's in exile. He's in a foreign nation where most people around him worship foreign gods. And the people and their culture and their religious practices all remind him every day that he's far from home. He's a man with no country. He's a spiritual or religious leader of his people, but he cannot lead in the same way. So his tears have been his food day and night. His heart is so heavy with sadness and perhaps grief that he can't stop weeping. He says that all day long people ask him if his God has abandoned him. Surely he must have felt that way. But here is a point that I made last week, and it bears repeating. not everything that you feel is true. Are people actually harassing him day and night about his faith? Maybe. It's not usually how it works. So that may or may not be true, but it definitely feels like it's true in this moment for him. Look at verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. So this isn't a man who was born and raised in exile. This was a man who was part of the people when they were conquered and then forcibly moved to a foreign land. He can still remember what life was like, what it used to be like before this unimaginable crisis had occurred. He can still remember going to the house of God, to the temple in Jerusalem, with joyful shouts and songs of praise among a crowd of people who were happy and celebrating. Isn't this an appropriate text for COVID-19? I mean, I can remember when we used to gather together corporately in person for worship. I can remember that. Can you? I can remember seeing your faces smiling and singing and celebrating. I remember giving people hugs. Do you remember that? But we will be able to return together. We will not have to be socially distanced forever. I do believe that that's true. But the psalmist is no doubt wondering as they pour out their soul, will I ever be able to experience that type of joy and that type of praise, that life ever again? Now, sometimes depression is caused or made worse by false thinking. Like when someone thinks that no one loves them, or they think that they are truly unlovable when, in fact, they actually do have friends and family members who really love them, or even though they're not perfect, they are certainly lovable. Their thoughts or their feelings of being unloved and unlovable are simply not true. And the depression caused or worsened by these feelings can be alleviated by correcting these false thoughts. But sometimes overwhelming sadness and depression is caused by real life events that are truly terrible or traumatic. Something bad really happened or is happening, and you rightly feel discouraged or hopeless as a result. It's not necessarily the result of false thinking, but it's actually only a natural response to difficult or disappointing events in this broken world. So the psalmist is rightly sad about the fact that he can't go home and he can't go back to the temple. He can't do his job, and there doesn't seem to be a quick or easy fix to the solution. But what can they do? Well, they need a greater truth. They need a spiritual truth greater than the reality of their circumstances. Look at verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now, I think that this is fascinating. Because look at what the psalmist does here in the midst of such an overwhelming time of depression. They start talking to their soul. They start questioning their soul. Now, before we jump into what is said, let's just back up a step, because the concept of a soul is not really part of our culture at all. So what is a soul exactly? Well, in the Bible, the soul is the essential and eternal aspect of who you are. It might be compared to the psychological or neurological concept of our consciousness, but it includes your mind, your will, and emotion, all of your remembered experiences, and all of the various aspects of your unique personality. According to the Bible, human beings are embodied souls. Meaning, we are souls united with these physical bodies of ours. You can kill the body, but you cannot kill the soul. When Jesus spoke to the thief on the cross and he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," he was referring to the man's soul. Now, Christianity is not like ancient Greek philosophy or Buddhism that teach that the physical world is lower or bad or something that needs to be escaped. This is a world that is broken by sin. But the Christian understanding of what God is doing in time and space is redeeming both body and soul. One day, when Jesus returns and the dead will be raised, the souls of the people of God will be given new resurrection bodies, just like the body that Jesus had after his resurrection. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth, for the old will have passed away. So the eternal future of the kingdom of God will once again be a union of the spiritual and the physical, of heaven and earth. And we human beings will once again be embodied souls. Okay, so with that, let's jump back into our topic today. So the psalmist, when they are depressed, starts to speak to their soul, to that essential and eternal aspect of their inmost spiritual and psychological being. And they start asking questions. Why are you downcast? Why are you in despair? Why are you so discouraged within me? Where are these feelings of hopelessness coming from? Now, these are great questions because when we are experiencing overwhelming negative emotions, it can feel like we've always felt this way. Like we were born in this state and we will die in this state. But that's far from true most of the time, isn't it? Many times something happened or someone said something that brought on feelings of sadness and despair. And sometimes when you can clearly see what happened or what was said, you can start to apply the truth as a healing balm to the wound. This is when the psalmist reminds their soul of what is true. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now the truth is that even in the exile, even after all of the disruption and the trauma that he's experienced, God has not abandoned his people. God is not powerless to intervene or to save. Oh, my soul, don't put your hope in your circumstances. Circumstances rise and fall. Oh, my soul, don't put your hope in your expectations of yourself or in other people. Don't put your hope in emotions, as powerful as they can be. But put your hope in God. He is your rock, your refuge, your strong tower, your savior, your strength, right? Okay. Well, now that we've identified why our souls are so disturbed, you know, we're in exile, and reminded ourselves of what's true, problem solved, right? No. The fact that this psalm doesn't end here suggests that this brother is a real person, and this psalm reflects the reality of many people who have experienced the ongoing nature of struggling with depression. Let's look at the next few verses. My soul is downcast within me. He's still experiencing this depression in verse 6. Verse 7, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. He's feeling like he's overwhelmed and drowning in verse 7. His emotional pain is overwhelming to him. Have you ever felt like that? Are you feeling like that even today, maybe? Look at verse 8. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Let me ask you this. If you've ever struggled with depression, did you feel like you were guilty of letting God down, or that God was disappointed with you in your depression? Notice that this is the only time that the psalmist uses the personal name of God, which is Yahweh. Now, I've explained this before in this series, But when you see the word Lord in all caps in the Bible, it's referring to Yahweh, or the personal name of God given to his people when God established a covenant relationship with them through Moses. By day, the psalmist says, Yahweh directs his love. Why? Well, because he made a covenant promise to do so. So even seeing the name of Yahweh should remind us of that promise. When two people get married, they stand up in front of a church or some beautiful place outside or wherever. They make their wedding vows to each other. They make their marriage vows to one another. They vow to love one another regardless of what happens in the future. In sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, till death do us part, right? Well, in the covenant that God made with his people, where he revealed his name to them, that covenant was based on the promise of God. And so God had vowed to be faithful in his love to his people. That includes when they're healthy. That includes when they're struggling. That includes when things are going well. And that includes when they're experiencing depression. So God comes to him and ministers to him in his love. Yahweh is not far off and removed from his depression. He is near. At night, he says, his song is with me. And I love that. He remembers the lyrics and the melody of the songs of worship to his God. This is why worship music is so important. Because he may not be able to lead the people in corporate worship in exile, but he can sing to himself, and he can sing maybe with other friends and family members. He can sing a song that will remind him of who God is, a prayer to the God of my life. So even in the darkness of night, he's praying, he's singing, he's resting in the promise of God's faithfulness and love. But then look at the very next verse, verse 9. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? It's like, wait, what? What happened to the Lord directs his faithful love to me? What happened to singing worship songs at night? Even the sentence, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Is confusing. It doesn't sound like God is very much of a rock to him. Well, here's what's going on. Even though he lived a long time ago, the psalmist was a real person, and this psalm reflects the reality of many people who struggle with depression. You see, real people don't hear the gospel once and then find that all of their problems and their pain and their negative emotions and all of their struggles are magically gone. I wish that it worked that way, but it doesn't work that way. For Christians who struggle with depression, they've already heard about the hope that is found in Christ. They've already heard and may know the truth about who God is and what he has accomplished for them in the past and what he's promised for their future. And they might know in their heads that God is their Savior and their rock, but they're having a hard time remembering it and believing it and feeling like it's true in that moment. What do they need? They need to be reminded again. They need to sing the song again. They need to be encouraged again. They need to be loved again. They need the gospel again, not to become a Christian again, but to grow as a Christian. And this can be done by yourself. Like in this psalm, when you speak the truth into your own soul and you remind yourself of what is true. But the Christian life was never meant to be an isolated life or an independent life. When you believe in the Lord Jesus by faith and you are united with him, you are united with his body, which is the church. And like it or not, you're stuck with us, the church. But in addition to the church, it might be that you need a friend, or you need a close family member, or you need a pastor, or at times so many of us need a professional counselor or someone else to speak the truth in love speak the truth in love to yourself and to other people, so that together we grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. But again, the psalmist seems to fall back in verse 10. Again, this isn't a one and done type of thing. Dealing with depression is a process and it takes time. Verse 10, my bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? So even though depression is a negative emotion, it can certainly cause physical effects as well. Depression is exhausting, first of all. It can drain your energy, your motivation, and your desire. It can distort and distract us away from things that we normally enjoy, and it can cause physical pain. The psalmist says here, my bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me. So they're making fun of him. Why is he in pain? Well, his enemies might be firing verbal bullets at him, but he is feeling the impact physically. If you've ever struggled with depression, maybe this resonates with you. Maybe you felt the pain or the drain physically in your body as well. And then this psalm ends once more with the questions and the encouragement from verse 5. Look at verse 11. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So again, the psalmist questions what's going on inside himself and reminds himself of this greater truth, this spiritual truth, that God is, in fact, cause for saving hope. And he will, despite his current feelings and circumstances, praise him. Now, originally, Psalm 42 and 43 were one psalm. And if you continue to read through Psalm 43 and reflect on it, it would be great for you. It's a similar theme, obviously, as Psalm 42. But I think we've enough to think about already. So we'll stop there for today. Well, how do we apply this to our lives today? What can you do if you or someone that you love is struggling with depression and feeling stuck in the darkness? Well, as I emphasized at the beginning of this series a few weeks ago, I hope that you understand that depression will likely require a variety of things to address the physical, emotional, and spiritual issues that interact with each other. For example, if you're feeling depressed, but you also aren't sleeping well, you've fallen into a pattern of unhealthy eating habits, you never exercise, you haven't told anyone how you're feeling, and you've been avoiding prayer and worship because you feel like God is disappointed with you, you are going to need a community of care around you to adequately help you grow in grace and in truth and experience again the light of hope and joy. But it is possible for you. What the psalmist demonstrated for us was both the complexity of the struggle with depression, but also a pattern for addressing the spiritual issues swirling around within our souls. So my application today is I'm not discounting the physical or other needs that most likely need to be addressed, but I am focusing on the spiritual resources that are available to you in following the way of Jesus, because that's my job. So to start this, let me tell you a quick story. When I was young, I used to have really vivid dreams a lot, and a lot of bad dreams as well. And one of the dreams that I remember was one where I was at my grandparents' house, which was a place of love and security to me. And in my dream, for some reason, I stepped out of the back door of their house, which should have led me onto the back deck behind their house and out into the yard where I would play. But instead of the deck, I fell into this deep blue water that surrounded the house. The land was gone and it was surrounded by this ocean, and I was swept under the surface by a very powerful current. And in my dream, I realized that the current was keeping me under the surface in this loop of being pulled under and then rising toward the surface, only to be pulled back down before I could get out. When I was in the deep of the water, I looked up and I could see my grandparents' house. But I knew in the dream I couldn't get there on my own. And I think that this dream is a lot like the experience of many people with depression. Some days or weeks or months or maybe even years, you might feel pretty close to the surface, close to the light, close to a place of love and security, which is right where you want to be. But then for whatever reason, or maybe a variety of reasons, you feel pulled back down into the deep. Now, personally, I never really understood depression. I never really experienced it growing up. But I believe that for the first time in my life over these past few months of dealing with COVID-19, I really understand depression now. I fell into the trap of both false thinking and to the pain and burden of the reality of this broken world. So today, if you're struggling with depression, or if you, one of your loved ones is, I want you to know, I want you to see in this psalm, first of all, and I also want you to hear from my own experience that you are not alone. It's true that depression can be caused or made worse by false thinking, that negative emotions can be caused by dwelling on things that just simply aren't true, in which case, as Jesus said, the truth will set you free. But sometimes, as we've seen, depression is a very natural response to the real difficulty and pain and disappointing events that happen in this broken world. For me, I wasn't lying when I said that I was heartbroken last week over the death of George Floyd, which was, to me, just yet another example of the gross injustice and violence that we see on a regular basis. In these cases, our thinking isn't really false, but we need a greater truth. We need a spiritual truth and reality to give us power to help us to get up out of the current that continues to pull us down and swim up to the surface in order to find hope and light and joy once again. And this is where the gospel has so much power to bring healing to our troubled hearts. Because in the gospel, we see that in Jesus, though he experienced great darkness, the darkness did not prevail. In Jesus, a light has shined into the darkness, as Isaiah wrote, and the darkness has not and will not overcome it. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus experienced this great darkness, on the night before his death on the cross, Jesus told his disciples, his closest friends, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And while he was being crucified, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Which sounds a lot like verse 9 in our psalm. And then when Jesus died, darkness fell over the whole land. You see, on the cross, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the hope of the world, took into himself all of the darkness from all of the people, from all of human history in this broken world. He bore in himself all of the evil and the wickedness and the injustice, all of the pain and the sadness and the grief, all of the guilt and the shame. Why? So that he might break the power of darkness for us. So that by faith in him, we might be able to walk in the light. And we might be called children of the light, and we would not be powerless or lost forever in the darkness. Depression is a painful and exhausting struggle, but you need to know that you are not alone, either in the church or in your relationship with God. And even though you might need to be reminded 10,000 times, the greatest spiritual truth that your soul needs to keep and hold onto tightly is that in Christ, you are never, ever, finally without hope. Depression is temporary. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are close to us in our depression, in our struggle, in our darkness. Father, I pray for those who are struggling with depression, maybe have struggled with depression for years and years. God, I pray that you would remind their hearts, speak the truth into their souls that they need today. For when you speak light into darkness. When you speak order into chaos. And when you speak life into the place where there is no life. Father, we need you. And we need the light of your Son shining into our hearts, making us new. Would you heal our troubled hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as a church, we help people find stability and hope by sharing good news every week. And this ministry is only possible because of your partnership in the gospel. So today, if you'd like to give any amount to support this ministry, please go to appletongospel.com/give, and there are several options for you to give there. And I just want to say thank you so much to those of you who are able to give today. Let me close with our traditional blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. I love you all. We'll see you next time.